Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/Lilisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the broadcast today. It's Tuesday, y'all. We are here with the Book by Book Success Project, professor, author, publisher, and many, many other things, Professor Terry Benjamin. Welcome to the broadcast today.
How's
things going? Oh, yes, I'm excited. I see we have a guest on with us, Justina Willock.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Well, Terry, I'm going to let you do the honors of introducing our guest and talking about writing this book and getting this book out of you. So with that being said, take it away.
Thank you so much, Lisa, and good morning to you, and good morning
thank
to
you.
All our listeners. Again,
yes.
We always try to do something special, and I think this morning is really extra special. We're introduced to a woman who really sort of epitomizes the whole idea of writing that book now. There's a lot of people who talk about writing the book, and they have really good intentions, and they want to do it, and they probably will get to it sooner or later, but they never get to it because that's no kind of plan to say, I'll get to it, I might do it, I love to do it, I wish I can do it. But we have a woman here who has done that, and she's done that four times so far, and I'm sure she's going to do it again. And so I welcome her to the Lisa and Terry Morning Show, as I like to call it. And again, we just want to bring in people that will inspire us to do the best that we can do and be the best that we
yes.
can be. And this morning, I want to introduce you, Lisa, and also to our audience, to Justina Wheeler, who was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and she is an author, a screenwriter, a poet. And the thing I love about Justina is that she's writing in a very popular genre, the romance genre. But we have to talk to her because they call her an old-school romance writer. We're going to find out what that really is about. Reading her book, and her latest book is Love and Betrayal, and it's filled with romance, intrigue, and mystery, and what I call upfield characters, people who have lives in the military and education, and it's about their story. But I love what she does with these characters, that she makes them people that we not only admire but want to be like, but also realize that they have troubles, that they have trials and tribulations as they move toward a journey of true love. And Justina has so far written four novels. The titles are Where Loyalty Lies, Like Falling Rain, Twisting the Script, and her latest book, Love and Betrayal. Her passion is writing and telling stories that we all can relate to. But I think more so than anything else, she has done something that a lot of people just talk about. And so, again, to you, Lisa, to our audience, I'd like to introduce you to Justina Wheelock. And Justina comes to us all the way from Louisiana. And I know she has a lot of things to say about how you can write that book, not just talk about it, but do that. So, Justina, are you with us?
I'm with you, and good morning. And it's a very early morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much, Terry, for the invitation, and thank you as well, Little Lisa. I really appreciate the opportunity just to talk about the passion I have for writing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we're certainly glad. I'm honored to meet you and to hear about your passion for writing, and we just thank all the audience that are tuned in right now or listening, those that will go back and listen to the archives, that they will learn how to, you know, really turn their passion into a great work. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say and how to get it done. I, too, aspire to one day write a novel. I have not written a novel yet. But so I'm always very, very, very interested to meet people who have done it, to see if I can glean just a little bit more that'll get me one more step closer to actually getting it done, so I can get out of the wishing, because as Terry said, that's no plan at all. So this is great.
So Justina, let me ask you a question. When did you know that you were a writer?
I think I've always known I was a writer, and I tell everybody, since the time I was a child, I've always found it easier to express myself on paper than, you know, face-to-face, and of course I'm growing out of that, but I've always known I wanted to be a writer. But I think 20 years ago, I'm going to date myself, I was sitting in a creative writing class, graduate-level creative writing class, and the person who really inspired me to want to do it on a professional level was Dr. Ernest Gaines.
Okay.
And he wrote the autobiography of Jane Pittman. That's his most noted work. And I was in his class, and I knew at that point that I wanted to pay the dues. I wanted to do whatever it took in order to tell stories of, about people of color. That was my passion.
That is so great, because you talk about Ernest J. Gaines, and you know, you said his book, autobiography, Miss Jane Pittman, which is fictional, and it's so funny because of the power of the story and the power of Cynthia Tyson's portrayal of Miss Jane Pittman. A lot of people think that Jane Pittman is a real person.
Absolutely, that's the power of being a storyteller. That you can take people there. Wherever there is, you say, that's there, you go there. So that's the power of being a storyteller.
Mm.
And also about Mr. Ernest J. Gaines, and one of my favorite books is a book he's written called A Lesson Before Dying, which was also made into a movie. I don't want to get too far away from your novels, Justina, but, you know, I really admire you so much because you're not only a novelist, but you're also a poet and also a screenwriter. Now, you got to tell me how you transition from novelist to screenwriter, because I think that's amazing.
Well, it's not by accident, it's by design. Whenever I'm writing a novel or even a short story, because I started to publish short stories as well, I see in pictures. And I just wanted from day one to move my works from book to film. That's always been the ultimate goal. And I've been fortunate enough that during the last year and a half, I've been with a screenwriting coach, and he's really taken that craft to the next level. Back in 2010, I did co-write my first book. We flipped that to screenplay, Where Largest Lies, in 2010.
Okay.
But this year, 2012, we've registered two screenplays, both based upon my novels. And I'm getting offers at this point to write other works. So, you know, flip other books from book to film. And that's rewarding that someone will actually approach you and say, can you flip my book from, you know. And
yes.
Working.
Yes.
So I'm blessed. That's just no way other to say it than that I'm blessed.
Wow, that is great. Well, I'm sure you'll get a few calls after this broadcast, people wanting to know, can you flip their books? Because we have a lot of people who do listen to this broadcast who are authors, and I think writers, as being a writer, what better thing is there but to have your book turned into a movie? So, congratulations on your work and your books, and I know Terry has some other questions, and I definitely want to know more about the planning side of how to actually sit down and plan to write a novel. But go ahead, Terry, I'll let you drive the questions.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, just, you know, my first question really is, your first book was We Are Dogs and Flies, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Now, I know for myself, as I know I was being interviewed at one time, and they were asking me about my books, and, you know, and they were asking me, you know, that I told them I didn't publish my first book till I was in my 50s. But I know for myself, I've written other books as well, but I didn't write anything that I felt was publishable until I wrote a book that was dedicated to my daughter. So my question to you is, in that first book,
somewhere outlined,
how did you begin that process?
It's simple. I didn't like my job, and I'm saying this on radio. And it was during the election. It just, things are coming full circle. The first election whereby we elected President Obama. And I used to listen a lot to Michael Basin because I got tired of the traditional talk shows. And Michael Basin had a series, you know, Are You Living Your Dream? And I knew I wasn't living my dream. And the only thing I really enjoyed doing, you know, was scribbling on paper. So while I was at a practice with my my son, a baseball practice, you know, doing the mama thing, I started scribbling. And 90 days later, I had my first rough draft. And later on that year, my first book was published. But it's more than that. I outlined each chapter. I knew a little bit about each character, and I think I've thrown away more than I actually published in that first manuscript. The wonderful thing about it is that you never really throw it away. It's because those scenes can be incorporated into other works, and I'm finding that more and more, that the work at this point is somewhat writing itself. From book to book. And Where Largest Lies is the first book. It's the first book in the Gravier series. The second book in that series is like Falling Rain. And then the characters from started. Y'all gonna think this is funny. The characters demanded another series, and that series is the Era series. And there are two books in that series, which are Twisting the Script and Love and Betrayal. But you can find the characters from the first book all the way through the fourth book. And some of them need their stories told in the individual books at this point.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Now, you write about families and you write about black families. Are any of these stories about your family, maybe fictionalized?
Ooh, that's a painful thing. No, Willoff is my maiden name. That's the only thing you'll find that's actually accurate, you know, as far as the place, the setting. My father was born in Norwood, Louisiana, where the a lot of the action centers around, which is a country setting, because my main characters the Graviers own a stable, a upscale stable, and I love black cowboys because they are black cowboys. So I got a chance to have my fantasy of creating a setting for black cowboys through the Graviers.
That's great. Now they call you an old school romance writer. Now what does that mean exactly? What does that mean?
That means you have to take it back a notch. I like ladies who are ladies because I'm over 50, okay? I love it when a man opens the door for me. I love when I go up to a car and door and he opens the door and he lets me in. I'm old fashioned like that. I'll even let a man pull a chair out for me. That's old school. I like a lady being a lady. Not that there's anything wrong with being independent, because I teach my daughters, I have two daughters, to be independent, to be independent thinkers. My oldest child is a few months away from having her PhD. So I've taught my girls to be independent. But also, there's something special about embracing womanhood. And my male characters, I've gotten a chance to just push a little bit of that thinking onto paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And I love you.
Wonderful.
Characters. They're all intelligent. They're all upscale. They're in the military. Some are in medicine. And why are those particular characters? Why are those characters important to you and your readers?
They're important to me because I like creating strong role models. We are not all athletes. We aren't all musicians, although I've used a musician as one of my characters before. I just wanted something different, something other than urban, strictly urban fiction, which if that's your thing, that's fine, but it just isn't mine.
And that's the thing, a lot of times people try to write what's popular and they don't write what's true to themselves. And as I was reading your book, Love and Betrayal, I really got a great sense of you as a woman, as a writer. And one of the things that I really appreciated, I think a lot of times when we write about romance in this generation, the sex is very explicit. In your book, I've noticed in all your books that there is sex, but it's not explicit. It's not salacious. It's not just for sensationalism. Now, what is your idea about that? I mean, again, these are romance novels. There's going to be some sex there, but what is your philosophy about handling sex things? Because that can be kind of out there if you not control your craft. What would you say about that?
I wanted to tell a story more than I wanted to have my characters have sex. I wanted to be able to create a platform in order to move the works forward. And I wanted to go into the traditional market as far as moving books from book to film. And for me, that wasn't the route. And plus, that's not what I enjoy reading. I enjoy reading romance, of course, because I'm a romance writer. But yet, I don't need to know every detail, and I will never put an F word in my writing because it's not necessary. You know what sex is. You don't need to just get, well, I don't need to get into that other area, because that's not what something that I would like my daughters to say, oh, my mama wrote that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's family and standards have kept a line, you know, drawn in the sand as far as what I write and what I, and as far as what I read as well.
And your latest project, I believe, is called Night Moon. What is that about?
Oh, Night Moon. That's what it, I say when I'm getting ready to finish a work that I'm pregnant. That's a book I'm pregnant with. I love chess. And my characters or people who both are business people, but they have confrontations, sexy confrontations, you know, a lot of wordplay on the chessboard, you know. So that's the Night Moon. You know, I'm taking that, you know, the K-N-I-G-H-T, the knights, the character, I mean, the, you know, the chess piece, knight. And they will
right.
be making night moves. He's going to take over her business. And that's going to be the conflict. But I'm excited about that one because I enjoy writing. So that's the next baby. And also I need to, my last book, Love and Betrayal, it's finished. We've done, I'm letting too much out. There's a screenplay written for Love and Betrayal, and it's called Terms of Concealment, but it's going beyond one movie. So we're excited about that.
Sounds like it.
We should be. And just one last question. I know that you didn't publish your first book until you were in the 50s, so can you say tell our readers that maybe it's never too late, and how do you decide that it was never too late for you? Because sometimes we get to a certain age, we feel like, you know what, let me forget about this. I haven't done it thus far, so maybe I don't need to do it. But what makes you say, well, you know what, I'm 50, maybe 50 plus, but I still want to do this thing, and you know what, I want to do it right now.
I had no choice. It was something I wanted to do for years, and I had no excuse for not writing. I've been scribbling and writing journals and what have you for a long time, and it was just time. I just had no excuse for not following my passion, for sitting up at a desk every day and virtually hating to be at that desk because I knew it wasn't my calling, and it was just time to step out of my comfort zone and to do what I needed to do. I know everybody can't start with a novel, but there are also other ways to express your creativity. I've recently started writing short stories through Independent Author Index. I've submitted 3 works. Those will be published in an e-book. Anybody can do that. If you have a short story that's, say, 3,000 words, that's not a lot. You know, my novels are 50,000 words. 3,000 words, you can become a published author. There's no excuse for not writing, you know, if you really want to. You just have to decide because nothing can stop a made-up mind. Once you make up your mind, I'm going to do this, and you have to set realistic goals. Even before I became a writer, you know, a fiction writer, I was always a person who liked to study self-improvement, and it just takes a sense of purpose, a sense of I'm going to do this, and it takes goal setting. And if you don't make your goal, it's okay. You're better than you were, you know, months or days or weeks before had you not set that goal and try to move forward. And some people say, well, I don't, you know, grammar isn't there. I just finished a 12-hour grammar course. Never ends. And I'm talking like this is October. In September, I finished a 12-hour workshop on grammar. It's what you don't know, the universe will present itself an opportunity for you to find out. I studied with a screenwriting coach but intensively, where he literally wanted to make me cry because, you know, it wasn't right. And I'm glad he told me it wasn't right, because if it hadn't been right, the contracts wouldn't be in place in order to move my writing career to the next level. So you just have to be willing to learn and open to just expanding your world. And that's it in a nutshell, Terry, a big nutshell.
Now, I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
If a person wants to write a novel, such as you've done, would you suggest that they go to a novel writing course or some other type of writing course before they get started, outside, of course, the planning and the goal setting of what you want to do, but the actual writing part, getting the characters, getting the setting and all that stuff, or should they just sit down and just start, you know, writing?
You have to start writing, because even if you go to a workshop, you have to write.
Okay.
Even you just have to write. And sometimes we use those things as crutches, the classes or what have you. I was 20 years out of a class before I published my first novel. And I had the course, but I just didn't do anything with it. So education
okay.
is fine, professor, but action is so much so important that you just put a you know, a plan of action. Action is a key component of the plan. And
okay.
once you start, it gets better. It gets easier. As a matter of fact, right now it's harder not to write than to write. Even my short stories, one of my friends read the short story and got upset with me that that was it. Because
I can believe
to know
that.
Where's the rest of it? When are you going to give me the rest of my story? I mean, what you
okay.
mean? That was a short story. But she said, no,
now
I need to know what's going to happen. Okay.
I have one more burning question. One more burning question to piggyback on that. Okay, so help at least one person with, okay, what one suggestion, one hot tip that you can give to somebody to for that first write, for that first start? What's the, okay, you're sitting down, you got your paper, you got your pen, and you, or your tablet or your typewriter or whatever. And, you know, what kind of walk us through what would be the first thing you would do?
Well, I'm different. I wrap things around a title. I usually,
okay.
a title or a theme. That's what I,
okay.
actually, I say self-improvement. Dr. Stephen Covey is one of my, you know, people who I know what it's going to be at the end before I start the beginning.
Wow.
And I know that sounds strange. I know
the
end
sounds perfect.
Before the beginning. I know if it's going to be a short story. I know if it's going to be a novel. I know if it's going to be a poem. I know what it's going to be before. And it's kind of like the clay. You put the clay before you, and it comes into a figure. You know what it's going to be when you put that pen in your hand. And you know you have that inkling of, I think I need to write a chapter, or I need to write a scene, or I need to write a sentence. And it flows from there. And if you try to box yourself into what I'm going to do, you're playing, but you let the creativity flow. And I know that sounds all esoteric. You're playing.
No, it doesn't.
But creativity, you're playing, but
no.
The creativity has to flow.
No, it sounds great. It actually sounds good to me anyway, so I'm sure I'm like the average listener, and I'm sure it sounds great to them. It's a lot of information. Thank you so much for coming to share. I think people like you who are willing to share their secrets on what they did, how they got started, because like you said, you know, you were listening to a Michael Basin show, and he inspired, something he said inspired you to do it at that moment. And so we thank you for coming on this broadcast and the Terry and Lalisa show and helping to inspire others. That makes this show much more valuable, and so we cannot thank you enough. I can't thank you enough for doing that. Ms. Justina, you are an awesome woman, and to do that, to play it forward, to help someone else, to me, that's just the epitome of success, is that you're helping. And I'm sure you do this every day, but to come on here to a group of people that you don't know at all, we're all the way up here in New Jersey, though our radio broadcasts span the whole world. We have people who tune in from Japan and from Canada, California, and all other places. I just so appreciate you and thank you for the nuggets of wisdom that you've dropped. You've done some coaching right here on the broadcast. So now maybe take these last few minutes, I guess, to tell us, you know, how we can get in touch with you and get your books and where we can, you know, find you at.
Well, the best place and the first place is almost always my website, and that's www.jwhelock.com. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, Twitter. I'm just all over the place. Just Google me. Justina,
okay.
Justina, next word, Willock, Whelock. And you can find, I'm really easy to find at this point. If you inbox, I try to respond via Facebook. It may take a day or so, but I usually try to respond to everybody. Even if you can find me if you need me for advice, or if you need the product, we are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. So we're easy to find, really easy to find. All books are in e-book as well. Kindle.
Wonderful.
Or no. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have, Terry.
You
close us out.
Yeah, thank you, Justina, for coming on to the program. I know it's early, but again, what you had to share is so important, because there are so many people who need to write that novel, and they need to write it right now, but they need coaching, like Lalisa always says. You know, they need coaching, they need inspiration, they need mentors. And I know I met you on Facebook. We never met in person, but I read your book, and we talked on Facebook. And again, you've been a mentor to me, and I want to thank you for what you've done for me and for other people as well. Again, thank you, and really have a great day, have a blessed day, and just keep on writing. Let that creativity flourish today.
Thank you both. I really have enjoyed this. Thank you. I'm not a mic person, but I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Have a wonderful day. Terry, that's it for today.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome, and you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move, and this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.